sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl.
There's more good news in the world of 9/11 truth. The Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, along with Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and many 9/11 victims' family members, have filed a new lawsuit against the FBI for withholding 9/11-related evidence from the congressionally mandated 9/11 Review Commission, which came out with a report in 2015. The Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry and the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth previously filed a grand jury petition in federal court in New York City in 2018, which is now underway. Joining me today to discuss this recent lawsuit against the FBI are architect Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and three members of the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, 9/11 researcher Barbara Honegger, and attorneys Dave Meiswinkel and Mick Harrison. We begin today with the second and final part of this interview with attorney David Meiswinkel discussing these two legal actions.
Cheryl, just that the grand jury petition is really concentrated and powerful. And this is equally, it's not as concentrated in a sense, but just as powerful in different ways because it includes all that evidence from the grand jury petition in count one. And then it starts to begin the process of expanding really an investigation into the crimes even now transcending New York City. So when we say to connect the dots, that's what it's starting to do. There's a lot more to do. And as you know, there's other areas where grand juries could be organized in Pennsylvania, Shanksville, and also down in Washington, D.C., Virginia area because of the Pentagon. But, well, all that counts really brings something to the table as far as trying to unearth the, well, I don't want to say cover-up, but the lack of prosecution, lack of investigation. It sort of opens it up, and the public now can see 9/11 from a different perspective because the counts that Nick enunciated there, when you go into each count, you see that there's major problems there with each count and how they tie into the official story and how they could be tied into other theories. So the hypothesis that's challenged in New York City now is challenged for the entire event, the entire crime. To me, that's what's significant here, is it takes us beyond the real core evidence in New York City, and it broadens the scope of the entire crime, and it gives you now a sense of certain drama here. It's unfolding. You know, it's just the beginning, hopefully, of this unfolding so that we can see the true picture. And there's different layers of this. It's not, you know, there's different locations, but there's different layers. It's incredibly designed crime. And that's what we're trying to peel is these layers one by one as we proceed in here. And this is really a crucial and pivotal lawsuit to start to do that.
Thank you, Dave. Would anyone else like to add anything to that?
Yeah, I would just like to ask Nick to address a quick question, follow up to what he was saying. If people go to PACER to try to follow the lawsuit, isn't it the case that they need the case number? And if so, can you let people know that?
I can. We can post the case number on our website. However, Barb, you can also put in a case name, party's name, and search for the case. And if you put in Lawyers Committee or Architects and Engineers, there aren't going to be any other cases in the District of Columbia District Court. So we're talking about the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. So that's where you would go. Once you get to the PACER site, you go down the list of federal courts, and you want a column that's for district courts, not the bankruptcy. And you just put in, if you don't know the case number, just put in our name, Lawyers Committee, or put in Architects and Engineers, and the case will come up.
Okay, thank you for people to be able to find it there. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Barb, for bringing that up. I didn't know you could do that. Richard Gage, could you speak to some of the evidence concerning the collapse of the World Trade Center towers that the FBI did not submit to the 9/11 Review Commission that is in count one of this lawsuit?
Yes, the FBI on several occasions has been submitted and has acknowledged receiving our evidence, particularly in the case in 2008. after the 9/11 Commission report was issued, the Assistant Chief of Counterterrorism, Michael Heimbach, wrote back to Harold Saves saying that Mr. Gage's theory is interesting and backed by thorough research and analysis. So that tells us that he saw the DVD, which was 9/11 Blueprint for Truth, the presentation that we've now given around the world about 600 times. And so, and yet they did not report this or assess it or report it to the 9/11 Review Commission. So that's chocked full of evidence, such as the evidence for the controlled demolition of the third skyscraper on 9/11. This is a 47-story skyscraper that on the afternoon of 9/11 at about 5:20, after it witnesses hear explosions, the whole world sees this World Trade Center Building 7 drop like a rock straight down uniformly, symmetrically into its own footprint in the exact manner of a classic controlled demolition. And this is at free fall acceleration, meaning all 82 columns had to have been removed at once within a fraction of a second. And so the only way that can be done is with explosives or incendiaries. And incendiaries is what the forensic evidence reveals. And this is forensic evidence revealed not by conspiracy theorists, but by others, including the U.S. Geological Survey, which finds in all the World Trade Center dust billions of tiny, previously molten iron microspheres. Well, how do they get to be iron? How do they get to be molten? Office fires and even jet fuel doesn't create even a third of the temperature required to melt steel. So, and yet there's 10 tons of this material in all the World Trade Center dust. So this is extraordinary evidence in and of itself. But in addition to the videos which show the symmetrical collapse of this, it's irrefutable, especially when considered that it's completely supported by the peer-reviewed paper of 25 pages in the Bentham Open Chemical Physics Journal of an international team of scientists who studied the dust also and found in every sample red-gray chips of nanothermite. This should not be found in the World Trade Center dust. At first they thought it was paint, but it's attracted by a magnet, and they do energy dispersive spectroscopy, and they find the ingredients of thermite in all of these chips, unignited thermite. Well, what is thermite? Thermite is an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. And so what does it issue? It issues molten iron at 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So we have the evidence for where these spheres came from. It's just very clear. In fact, this team of scientists led by Niels Harrit and Stephen Jones put these unignited chips in a heater, a differential scanning calorimeter, and they find they issue all kinds of energy indicating it's thermitic material. So it's not paint. So this is very, very clear, convincing forensic evidence that the FBI was assessing in their letter to us, but did not assess in the 9/11 Review Commission. So they're really on the hook here, not to mention in that documentary of ours that they assessed, we show over 100 first responders talking about experiencing explosions, seeing explosions, all before the collapse of these buildings. You know, those explosions are written off by NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, as a means of writing it off. They say, oh, this was just the building collapsing. No, they're very specific with their language. Pop, 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 all the way around the building. And then you begin to see the building collapse as an example of one of the quotes there. The other category of evidence here includes the first responder, structural engineers, and iron workers seeing molten, they call it molten steel. The tests show that it's molten iron flowing down the channel rails, the firemen describe it. There's a river of steel seen by the first responder, the structural engineer, Leslie Robertson. And this goes on and on and on. In fact, it's pouring out of the South Tower minutes prior to its collapse, this yellow molten material. Well, we can tell by its color what its temperature is. It exceeds 2,500 degrees. Jet fuel and molten iron, molten aluminum, don't do that. So this evidence is clear, convincing, and irrefutable. In fact, the seismic evidence is falls into this category as well, because it proves that at Building 7, the seismic wave occurred 10 seconds prior to the collapse of this building. And NIST is left trying to explain this, and they do so by saying that the interior of the building collapsed first, followed 10 seconds later by the exterior. Well, we can prove that that's not the case, because the interior of the building only collapsed a half a second prior to the overall, because the penthouse drops just half a second, and the penthouse is supported by the interior columns. So in the case of the towers, we have evidence by Andre Rousseau, applied geophysics expert, 50 peer-reviewed papers. He says in his analysis that it's very clear that the seismic waves, even prior to the planes hitting the building, is due to explosives. And that's corroborated by Willie Rodriguez and others who see experience severe injuries of a basement explosion. And so also he documents, Andre Rousseau, the explosions before the collapses of the buildings, which are also documented and corroborated by the first responders. So let me not go on and on and on, as I am prone to do, but that's just the beginning, and people can see all this evidence that the FBI saw by looking online at our documentary on YouTube. Just search 9/11 Blueprint for Truth, and better, our later documentary, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. Just search on YouTube, Experts Speak Out. It comes right up. The free one-hour version is there. And so this is why this opportunity to fund the lawsuit, and it does need funding. There are opportunities to support the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry here, and we encourage everybody to make that support as you can at lc4911.org or at ae911truth.org, where you can learn all this evidence in the form of many videos, including World Trade Center 7, which is just shocking to look at. And then you see NIST trying to explain this by means of normal office fires. Well, office fires have never brought down the skyscraper before 9/11 or since, and in fact, not on 9/11 either.
Okay, thank you, Richard. Would anyone else like to add anything here about the explosions at the World Trade Center?
I would.
Yeah, Barb?
Yeah, I just want to pull out to emphasize, Richard did mention it, but I want to make people very, very aware of it, and that is that the seismic evidence is very clear, and there is a paper by a seismic expert, Professor Rousseau, that Richard Gage just mentioned. The seismic evidence makes it clear that there were massive deep basement explosions in both World Trade Center Twin Towers before the planes hit either tower. That's incredibly important, because think about World Trade Center 1. The first attack, everybody believed, in the whole world, almost everybody except us, that the first attack of 9/11 was when a plane hit World Trade Center 1. That is not the case. That is not true. The first attack of 9/11 was when a massive explosion went off in the deep basement of World Trade Center 1, 14 to 15 seconds before the plane hit over 90 stories in the sky. So that's really, really critical, because the official story is that planes and hijackers on the planes were the cause of what happened at the World Trade Center Towers on 9/11. And anyone knows that massive explosions require pre-placement of explosives. In fact, the classic controlled demolition of World Trade Center 7 and the explosive non-classic or non-traditional controlled demolition of the two World Trade Center towers on 9/11 require pre-placement throughout the towers of explosives and incendiaries, and that cannot happen by hijackers on planes. That has to happen by people who have access to some of the most highly security-controlled buildings on the planet. Okay,
thank you, Barbara. Yeah, I want to encourage people to go listen to Willie Rodriguez on YouTube talk about his experience. He was a janitor, about those bombs going off in the basements before the planes hit. And then the second category of evidence was on the five, we call them in the 9/11 truth movement, the five dancing Israelis. The FBI seems to have kind of cleaned that up a bit and calls it the five high fivers. And you can go on YouTube and see these guys, they're Israelis, talking on Israeli television saying they were sent to the United States to document the event of 9/11. So obviously they had some prior knowledge of that. Yet nobody seems to have done anything about that in terms of investigating them. Anyone want to add some comments about them or that?
Yes, Gerald, you're right. And one of the things we do know, Nick mentioned the explosive residue that was found, at least a police dog going through the van, hit on that. And there was also the photos, but we know for a fact there was 76 photos, at least, that were developed. And they, these are big photos. They blew them up 8 by 10, and it was 3 sets. And they were done by the New Jersey State Police, their forensic photography unit, and given to the FBI. So, and that's what Nick alluded to with regard to count three, destruction of evidence, because we believe that those photos would be responsive, or at least they would, should have been assessed, and they should have been considered by the 9/11 Review Commission, and also that the original commission never got to consider it. So that goes into that area, and this is an area that has never been explored as far as what we know. So that count two is an important count, just to, we're not saying anything, who did anything, all we're saying is this is important information that should have been assessed and considered.
Exactly, yeah. Thank you. And then if we move on to point or count three, you have the destruction of evidence. And anyone want to talk about that? Records destroyed? Or I know, Nick, you already said a little bit about that, but...
Yeah, I don't think there's too much more we can add because we obviously haven't seen the evidence that's been destroyed. So the point of the suit is to hold the FBI accountable for destroying evidence at the very time they should have been submitting it to the new 9/11 Review Commission and then have it reported to Congress. And if it was, in fact, destroyed, you know, it may not be possible to report it to Congress now, and that's a problem. Now, we have asked the court for an order in our complaint to have the FBI make every effort to reconstruct that evidence. Sometimes documents that were emailed to folks, and even though you may have destroyed your original version, you know, the email system may recover a version, and there may have been backups. So we don't know if there was complete destruction yet, and we don't know exactly everything that was destroyed. So we want the court to order the FBI to do their best to either recover or reconstruct that evidence.
Okay.
And then assess it and report it to Congress.
Mm-hmm. And sure, we don't know what was on those photographs either, but we do know that a woman from Union City took down a license plate around 9 o'clock in the morning when she saw these people on top of a moving van in New Jersey filming and taking photographs of the event. And as we know that the two towers were hit, the first one was, depending on the account, somewhere between 8:46 and 8:48 in the morning. The second was about 9:03. So during that period of time, those photographs will give you a chronology, basically, of the crime as it's happening. And as you mentioned, too, the pre-knowledge is we were there to document the event. That's something that certainly should be considered, too. So the photographs were important because they would lock in a time. And they would also see, basically, supposedly they were celebrating. And, of course, what would they be celebrating? But that in case the fact. So those pictures or photos would be important to tell us what they were photographing at this particular time.
Okay, thanks, yeah. And I'm assuming it's illegal to destroy evidence. Is that correct?
It is. Well, you can't destroy evidence. That's posed by the crime.
Right, okay. And then the fourth count that we're looking at is the Saudi and other international supporters. Who would like to address that?
This is Mick. I can. So the short version is that there were certain Saudi officials and people connected to Saudi officials that witnesses identified as having supported in either financial or other ways two of the alleged hijackers in the months leading up to 9/11. And that some of the specifics of that evidence is documented in the 28 pages that were eventually released from the Congressional Joint Inquiry and are now becoming better known. But there's additional evidence. A lot of folks don't realize that the FBI's investigation of 9/11, including the potential Saudi support for terrorists and other international support for terrorists, including the 9/11 hijackers, has been ongoing. So if you were to go to the FBI today and ask the status of their 9/11 investigation, they would not tell you that it's closed. It's still ongoing. And these three tranches of documents I mentioned that the DOJ has referenced publicly has undergoing review to see what may still be classified and may be privileged, but otherwise they're apparently going to produce these records to the 9/11 families in the Saudi lawsuit in New York. A lot of those documents are related to the same topic, which is Saudi support for alleged hijackers, and they were acquired based on the ongoing investigation many years after 9/11, including based on the records we've seen in the 2010 and 2012 timeframe. So very few people in the American public would have guessed that the FBI continues to investigate Saudi support for the 9/11 hijackers, you know, even today and through the years. But that's what these records indicate. And the point of the lawsuit is those records should have been assessed by the new commission. They reported to Congress, and they have not.
I'd like to add to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of important points for people to realize about the ongoing investigation of the Saudi connection. And just to remind people, there are literally thousands of 9/11 victims' family members who lost their loved ones, either on the planes or the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, or Shanksville on 9/11, who are suing the Saudi government. So it's definitely not the case that the victims' family members don't want to have more truth about 9/11. There are literally thousands of them who do and who are suing to get that truth. That's number one. Number two is people need to know that not only is McCarrick's suspension, that the FBI's investigation, not only of the Saudi connection to at least two of the 9/11 alleged hijackers, is ongoing, but the entire 9/11 investigation by the FBI has never ended to this day. You can go to the FBI's website and see that. And third point, very important, and that is that the FBI's code name for the entire 9/11 investigation covers all of the aspects of 9/11, from the very beginning to now, and it's ongoing, as I mentioned. The FBI's code name for the whole 9/11 investigation is Pent Bomb. And that is P-E-N-T-T-B-O-M, and that stands for Pentagon, Twin Towers. The two T's are Twin Towers, and bomb is short for bomb or bombing, and that's B-O-M. Now, if you look up the FBI's code names, for instance, of the Oklahoma City bombing, where even the official story acknowledges that there was a bomb, that is the Ryder truck bomb of Timothy McVeigh out front, you notice that the FBI's code name is Oak Bomb, B-O-M, which is, again, short for bomb or bombing. So the FBI's code name for its whole investigation of 9/11, from 9/11 to this day and it's ongoing, is ends with bomb or bombing. It ends with B-O-M for bomb or bombing. That's very, very critical. The FBI has all of this information that we are trying to get the FBI to be honest about and to include in a new 9/11 Review Commission report, which is what we're asking for. And the final point I want to make is that the ongoing lawsuit by literally thousands of 9/11 victims' family members against the Saudi government is about two of the alleged 19 hijackers. And those two alleged hijackers are in the famous 28 pages, which has now been declassified and released, in great part thanks to many of us on the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, in particular Nick Harrison and myself. And what people need to know is that both of those two alleged 9/11 hijackers were on the Pentagon plane, according to the official story. So that makes the Pentagon extremely important. Extremely important what really did happen and didn't happen there to the ongoing lawsuits by literally thousands of 9/11 victims' family members. So I just wanted to add those points.
Yeah, thank you, Barbara. Well, we're close to the end of our time for today, so we're not going to get through all seven counts of the lawsuit. But I'm going to ask each of you to give a final statement on anything that we haven't touched on today that you'd like the listeners to know.
So this is Mick. I'll just start, and in closing, just let me say that I'm honored to represent Bob McElvain and the Architects and Engineers and the Lawyers Committee in this historical litigation.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mick Harrison. And Dave Meiswinkel?
If you just want to say something real quick, Cheryl.
Yeah.
On the counts that you didn't cover, the 5, 6, and 7, basically, if we find somewhere there's a lie or deception. It kind of unravels the entire official story. In those counts, the first one that I mentioned having to do with the photographs from the Pentagon would tell if we got the right photograph, that basically hit the Pentagon. A lot of controversy. The plane parts have serial numbers, the major parts. It would tell us, the serial numbers would tell us, you know, we count six, what plane hit what building. And to see if those numbers match up with the various four airplanes, and there's a lot of controversy over that. And then the cell phones, that would be really a revelation if, in fact, there was some duplicity there. In other words, there was a major switch from cell phones to airphones, and actually writing out a person's transcript to her husband that it didn't really happen. So these are all really important, and as they get it looked at and investigated a little further, and the courts look at it, it may be developed that lie, which will unravel the entire story, because the whole story is based on lies.
Yes, and it does seem to unravel at any point you look at it. Thank you for that. And Barbara?
And thank you so much, Cheryl, for, as usual, getting the truth out to your listeners, and I'm sure you send this to your email list as well. We really appreciate it. It makes all the difference. Everybody contributes to moving 9/11 truth and justice forward. This is an historic filing of our complaint against the FBI and the Department of Justice. And I would just like to point out to people in closing that at the time of 9/11, about 4 or 5 days before, on 9/11 and for years afterwards, the head of the FBI, who was the mastermind, one of the masterminds of the cover-up of the truth that we're trying to undo with this lawsuit, was none other than Robert Mueller, who, of course, is still the special prosecutor in D.C., the special counsel.
Yes. Thank you, Barbara.
I need a moment for a disclaimer. So just for, in case folks didn't already figure this out, that when the speakers are giving their personal opinions on the question you're asking, they're not, unless they say so, speaking for their organizations. And for, as an example, when Barb gave her opinion on Director Mueller of the FBI, that's Barb's opinion. The Lawyers Committee has not formed any conclusions yet regarding any particular FBI officials. So I just needed to say that.
Okay, and Richard, final words?
Yeah, I'm real grateful to the Lawyers Committee for having stepped up and joined us back in 2016 at a conference called 9/11 Justice in Focus. And there we presented to a band of 12 attorneys, including Danny Sheehan, who is affiliated loosely with the LC-9/11, and other attorneys that have inspired them. We presented this material. They packaged it. Finally, after 12 years of us trying to get this word out, the legislative and the presidential branches and the media, we've now got this information slated for the discovery phases in a federal lawsuit. I mean, that is absolutely extraordinary. So I want to encourage everybody to support the opportunity here, because they're going to throw everything they got at us, and we got to be ready. And I also want to encourage everybody to tell your congressman about the truth about 9/11, the media. Tell every architect and engineer you know or can find. This word has to get out, and it has to get out big time, because for the last 18 years, we've been suffering under an incredible gray cloud of policies that have ruined this country. And this is really just the exposure of other gray clouds, including the JFK assassination and even before, that have built up to this false flag operation. So we need to end all false flag operations with the exposure of this one. So everybody, like Barb said, do what you can. Let's turn this around. It's not too late.
I agree. Thank you, Richard. And also for the listeners, Richard's website, ae911truth.org, has wonderful resources you can use to share with people. They've got professional scientific brochures, etc., and videos. So check those out. And then the Lawyers Committee website is lc4911.org. Check them both out. Support them in any way you can. And Mick, Dave, Barbara, and Richard, thank you so much for being with me today. I really appreciate your being here and all that you're doing. You're all brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn.
And again, you were just listening to the second and final part of an interview with architect Richard Gage, founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry members Barbara Honegger, attorney Dave Meiswinkel, and attorney Mick Harrison. These two organizations, with many victims' family members, have initiated in 2018 a grand jury investigation in New York City into the collapse of the Twin Towers, which is currently underway, and they're also suing the FBI in Washington, D.C. over withholding evidence from the 2015 9/11 Review Commission. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.